Well, good afternoon. The objective of this session is to provide a status update on the project Pension Benefits That Depends on Asset Returns, which is on the research pipeline but has been suspended for some time. We'll not ask the board to take any decision in this session. So I will start with a short reminder of the issue and the history of the project. Under IAS 19, defined benefit pension plans are classified as either defined contribution or defined benefit plans. Defined benefit plans have a broad range of characteristics, and in recent years, entities have been moving away from traditional defined benefit plans and introduced plans that have risk-sharing features, trying to shift part of the risk to the participants of the plan. It can be interest rate risk, investment, inflation, or longevity risk. Some defined benefit plans include promises that vary based on the performance of a specified pool of assets. When IAS 19 is applied to these plans, the entity needs to project the benefits using the expected return rate and discount back the obligation using the rate, discount rate indicated in IAS 19, which is a high-quality corporate bond rate, which more often than not is lower than the expected rate of return. The measurement of the DBO is subject to criticism. First of all, the discounting does not reflect the characteristic of the underlying asset, and therefore it is perceived that there is an internal inconsistency between the projection of the benefit and the discounting of the benefit. And the second is when the entity holds the reference asset, the DBO does not reflect the market price of the reference asset, which is instead reflected in the fair value, which is the measurement basis of the plan assets. So the board has been aware of this issue for a while now, and there have been multiple attempts to address the issue. The first one being the publication of IFRIC Interpretation D9 back in 2004. We've summarized the history of the different attempts, and I would say that the main roadblock for the issue has not really been around the different solutions that have been proposed over time, but rather about identifying a subset of plans to which the new requirements would apply. And so eventually, all of these times, the issue has been dropped and deferred to a new project. Following the 2015 agenda consultation, the board instructed the staff to investigate a capped ultimate cost-adjusted model. Very short term, so what would happen is that the projection of the benefit would be capped at the rates based on the discounted rate indicated in IAS 19. We have listed the advantages of this approach in paragraph 31 of the paper, but I would say that the two main advantages are, first of all, it avoids the scoping issue because it would not require to identify a subset of plans, but it would target specific benefits that have this characteristic. So the entity would cap the projection rates to the benefits that in a plan that qualify for varying over the reference assets. And the other thing, it would not require to change the discount rate under IAS 19. And past discussions have shown that selecting a discount rate for pension obligation is rather a tricky issue. So in terms of recent activities that are relevant for this project, there has been a paper published by EFRAG in May 2019, where they have investigated the application of the capped approach together with two other approaches, a fair value-based approach and a fulfillment value approach loosely based, I would say, on IFRS 17. EFRAG has not yet discussed the feedback on their discussion paper, but if you look at the replies that are available on their websites, there is, significant amount general support for the capped approach, which is mostly seen as a pragmatic way to address the issue. And some of the respondents even suggest to turn the capped approach into a set approach, where the entity would always project the benefits using the discount rate in IAS 19. While there is a significant amount of opposition to the other two approaches, which are considered too costly and complex. In terms of what the staff is currently doing, I think there are three questions we want to investigate about application of this model. The first would be, how much of a difference does it mean to apply the capped approach to the measurement of the defined benefit obligation? The second is, how complex it is to apply, and there are specific characteristics of the defined benefit plan which may create application issues. And the third question is, how common are these type of benefits? To answer to the first two questions, what we are doing, we are developing illustrative examples. We are close to complete the first illustrative example, which is using a higher off plan that pays the higher off variable return based on reference asset and the fixed guarantee. And we are applying this using different scenarios. We're considering whether we need to develop illustrative example for some other type of plans, could be, for instance, a cash balance plan. For the second question, how common are these benefits, we are trying to update the quantitative analysis, which was previously presented in November 2015, about global trends in pensions. Although I have to say that I want to temper a little bit expectation, we know the valuable statistical sources do not target specifically this kind of benefits, but use larger categories like DB, DC, and hybrid plans. But at least we think we could provide a general feeling of how common these kind of plans are. And with that, I will just leave the floor to the board members if you have any questions or comments.
I agree with staff's, agree with the direction and the plan. I think although the paper is not long, very short, but it includes a lot of information. I really to help, it's really helpful, look at what different forms of hybrid plans, look back the history and what's the main issues and what kind of approach we can take. I agree with the captured approach. I think it's a very practical approach to take all those, I think, four main issues. And I also agree with the next step to develop those illustrative examples to apply that approach, whether it's operational, workable or not, and come back to discuss the details of those proposals and issues. So generally, I support your plan and direction.
I also like staff's proposed plan and focus on outreach and analysis. Because I truly think if we can properly identify the scope of the pension and then also define that pension applied to the exemption, a new model we are currently exploring, I think we can receive the advantage which explained in this paper. But at the same time, the model itself is not completely aligning with the general requirement of IS-19 currently we apply. So I think the scope of the pension plan we support to apply is too narrow. In that case, the cost might be outweighed the benefit, but also the scope is too broad. In that case, we might our new model might damage the fundamental requirement of the IS-19. So I truly think the next step is analysis and outreach, as you report.
Okay. Are we all done?
Seems so.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Agenda paper 12.